This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
To start your morning here, it's Meggo and Shime on Boston Sports Original WEEI. It's cold, it's chilly, it's Saturday, snow is coming. But Meggo, how are you today?
Did you request the song?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I absolutely did not.
This song takes me back.
This is like, what is this, 2010 maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 2009? Ooh. I don't know. How did Jacob, who taught you this song?
Yeah, you're too young for this.
Jacob does not know that.
Yeah, Jacob, you're only what, 23? 24?
22. I just knew that song. It's always been a thing.
Yeah, it's a popular song. Flo Rida, very popular. I got to say, he is not popular now, but he burned real hot.
Did he have any other songs besides the
Bits with the Fur? My House, Whistle.
Is My House...
Welcome to my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, we are horrible, by the way.
Yeah. He had Whistle. I want to hear you whistle, baby. That one was super popular.
Wow.
He had a couple other ones, too. Yeah, like he had some bangers there for like a 4 or 5 year stretch.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize his catalog ran that deep. Maybe he should have done the Super Bowl.
Honestly, he should open for somebody at the Super Bowl. Every song is electric. Like, there's no low energy songs when it comes to Flo Rida. The next time the Super Bowl is at like Tampa at Raymond James, Flo Rida should be incorporated.
Do you feel
he is
like,
from Florida.
Don't you feel like he was trying to step on like Pitbull's corner?
100%.
I feel like he was trying to get into that Pitbull corner and say, I've got the hype up party songs that you play that like you don't even need the Kidz Bop version because they sound like they're a little edgy, but then you listen to the lyrics and they're completely innocuous.
Yep. Yeah. And the thing is, though, is Pitbull has the international audience. So he just grinded Flo Rida into the
Well,
dust.
Yeah, he's Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, Mr. Worldwide. He went from Mr. 305 to Mr. Worldwide.
That, as we talked about, one of the greatest promotions of any artist.
Without a doubt.
From a local area code
How
to international borders.
How has he not been in a Super Bowl yet?
Pitbull?
Super Bowl halftime, yeah.
You would think that he...
Like a Miami Super Bowl is perfect for him.
Yeah, well, what immediately came to mind was the J-Lo Shakira Super
Absolutely,
Bowl halftime.
Yeah.
If he had come in as a guest, but I don't know that those they ever had crossover with him.
Yeah, I don't know that they ever did a song together, but even still, like, they could have. Like, they could have filled in on a female feature that he had on a different song,
I think,
you know what I mean?
Wiggy made a really good point on your show, on the Greg Hill show this week, where he was talking about how much stronger the halftime shows are when they're ensembles.
Yeah, I agree.
And I totally agree with that. My favorite halftime shows have always been ensemble shows. When they did the Dr. Dre show a couple years ago,
yep,
where they had Snoop,
Eminem,
they had
50 Cent.
They had Kendrick Lamar in it, and I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan. But like, I like when it's, hey, I like when they just bill it as like there's going to be two or three artists. And I understand like everybody wants that spotlight as the artist. They want the Super Bowl for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's more fun when you kind of treat it like, you know, you're cutting up songs anyway.
Yeah.
Even
make it a party.
Even Usher did it last year. Like he had Ludacris out there.
Yep.
Like
Lil Jon.
Yeah, I like when guests just drop in. I think that's just the way it should go.
Yeah, I agree. You and I haven't gotten a chance to talk since the Super Bowl. We talked the day before the Super Bowl at the Tom Brady lookalike competition.
It feels like it was a year ago.
It feels forever ago now.
Philly just had their parade yesterday. And I saw a couple friends of mine who are big Philly fans who were at the parade. And I was like, oh my God, I know that's how you do it, but it just feels like a really long
wait. Rookie Quinyon Mitchell was really getting after it. Proud of him for that. But I want your, before we get into actual content for the day, I want your reaction to the Kendrick Lamar halftime, since we're talking halftimes. If you're a Kendrick Lamar fan, I'm curious kind of what you thought of the halftime show.
So I am a Kendrick Lamar fan. From my perspective, I was a little disappointed that he played so much of his current catalog.
Yep.
He played so much of his recent stuff.
Yeah, what is that? GNX is the album?
Yeah, everybody was really excited about the Drake diss stuff, and that's what people were tuning in for. That was hilarious.
Tremendous.
I mean, I laughed out loud when he turned to the camera and had that huge, like, crap-eating grin on his face because he knew what he was doing. That was great to me. Again, I think, like, it's just way more of a divisive subject than I expected it to be.
Yep.
And I think in general, anything that's a huge platform like the Super Bowl halftime show goes that way because... Yeah.
That was one of the more political halftime shows than we've seen.
Yes, but we're also increasingly just like, we don't have a monoculture, you know? Mm-hmm. There are not, and I heard Greg kind of talk about this point earlier in the week, that there are not so many artists who, even if you have like the biggest streaming numbers, even if you have the biggest tour going on, like other than maybe Taylor Swift, there's not a ton of artists that are overwhelmingly popular with a couple different generations and, you know, different groups of people. And so I think we're at a point now where no matter what, if it's a movie that wins the Oscar, you know, like if it's Barbie versus Oppenheimer, if it's the Super Bowl halftime show, I think people just have a really hard time watching something and saying like, I'm not that familiar with this and it's not really for me, and not going to the point where they're like, I hate this and it's the worst ever.
Yeah.
Just because it's not for you doesn't mean that you have to go all the way to the opposite end of the spectrum. You know? Change the channel.
Yeah.
Go watch another halftime show that you liked from a couple years ago. Like, I don't understand why people have to be intense haters when something they feel like isn't personally catered for them. We live in a society now you got me ranting, where everybody wants things to be personally curated to their taste.
Well, yeah, because every streaming service is exactly that way. TikTok is literally an algorithm built to serve you.
And I think it's why certain things, like I was thinking today when we were coming in about SNL. Like SNL is having its 50th anniversary episode tonight, and we can talk about that more in detail later. But SNL, I think, struggles from the same thing. They're like, should we be political? Should we not be political? Should we be silly? Should we be doing impressions? Should we be self-referential? And everybody wants it to appeal exactly to their taste.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't, they're like, this absolutely sucks. It's trash. It's not as good as it used to be, and nothing is as good as it used to be. And I feel like it's a hard way to even talk about this stuff, where I go, I love Kendrick Lamar. There were parts of the halftime show that I felt were a little snoozy.
Agreed.
There were parts that I thought were really interesting and evocative and made me go like, I want to read smarter people who are going to write about this. And then there were parts that I just thought were flat out hilarious. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening at a Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that they like teased Not Like Us. Like that was kind of tremendous off the rip. And he did it again, like in the middle of the set. I thought the dancers with the different colors, kind of like the American flag colors on that stage, was pretty cool. But overall, like it wasn't nearly like my favorite halftime show. I don't know why. My favorite halftime shows are just the mega pop stars. Whether it was Gaga or Katy Perry or Prince. Like, it's just...
You know who did an awesome job? Usher.
Yeah.
Last year's Usher halftime
was fine.
Show. I thought it was so good. That dude was out there rollerblading and singing, taking his shirt off, and he's like, what, 50 or something?
Yeah, look,
and he's
ripped. Usher probably would have been better 10 years ago. Like, he was good, don't get me wrong, but like, it would have been better 10 years. I don't feel like he is, again, you mentioned like the monoculture. Like, I don't think he's in the zeitgeist anymore.
Oh,
like,
definitely not.
And so,
they went with the most zeitgeisty person that they could think of right now, aside from Taylor Swift.
True. That's fair. It's interesting. I think for me, it's just like, I don't know why. I think the mega pop stars are The Killer ones. Like, those are the best performances.
Well, because it's the difference between, to me, like, yeah. A part of it is it's a difference between an artist and a performer.
Yeah, and I think at the Super Bowl, you need a performer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can just do an artist.
Or if you're not going to, you need to do ensemble.
Yeah, exactly. Like with the Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem, 50 Cent. Like 50 Cent hanging upside down in that little like cube was tremendous
that
content.
That was goofy.
Amazing.
That
was
so goofy.
Good.
He looked like a bat.
It looked awesome.
he looked like a vampire.
And he also looked like, I forget, somebody made this joke. He didn't look like 50 Cent. He looked like the whole dollar. Like it was tremendous. Like he was thick. It was awesome. That's what you need now is you need memeable content. And I think Kendrick gave you some of that, but not enough to appease the masses, unfortunately. He is just more of an artist than a performer.
And I have heard some people complain saying that they feel like the genre is it's all rap or R&B or it's straight pop. But who's a rock band right now who's big enough that...
Well, that was my argument with Greg.
That,
I'm like,
that could play right now.
What are you
like,
going to...
Sincerely, who is it? Who's a big... Don't get me wrong. Like, I love classic rock. I love 80s, 90s punk rock. Like, I was in a band in high school. Like, yeah. I love that genre. But again, if you're trying to go to the biggest common denominator, if you're trying to get something that is like monoculture... Who's out there right now that would be able to do that?
Yeah, a lot of people, listeners, and even Greg threw out, like, Metallica. I don't love Metallica. I am not a fan.
Metallica plays on classic rock stations now.
Yeah, I know.
Who's Metallica going to pair with? Metallica's going to bring out, Post Malone? Post Malone's going to play with Metallica?
Post Malone by himself would be a great halftime show.
I got to be honest. I think I know like one Post Malone song. He's one of those artists where, again, I think if I heard it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I've heard that song like 1,000 times.
Well, and it's
but
cool.
I never seek it out.
I think he's cool because he can now kind of hit a bunch of genres because he started in like the rap space, then moved his way more into the pop space, and then has since shifted into country with this most recent album, which is cool. And so I think you could kind of incorporate a lot of different genres and people, and I think that's one way to do it. Like, I think it's just entertaining. And I think that's kind of what you need to go with like the Super Bowl halftime show going forward is just entertainment.
Yeah, period. I guess when people ask my opinion about it, what I come down on is I just think it's difficult to even have a conversation with people.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's easy to have a conversation with you about it
because
I know you. I know where you're coming from. But I'm like, it means so much to so many different people. I'm just like, how about you just don't sit there and say, like, I hate it?
Great, great, great idea from the 207. Clearly the only artist out there that can bring everybody together is Weird Al.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. Oh, I would love that.
That would be tremendous. I think that'd be great content.
Although, again, Weird Al, what's the most, what's like the most recent hit that he's made his own riff of? He's not really in the streets anymore.
That's true. I don't know. That's a good point. I'm not sure.
I feel like he's retired.
Yeah. But, good halftime talk to get the show started
today.
Yeah,
people are thrilled about it on
the
text
line.
Per usual.
Hey, whatever, dude. It's, that's what was top of mind when we came on here. It was,
oh, my God. This is incredible. I just have to read this one text that came in. Creed is having a random resurgence. Creed would kill it. It's what America needs.
Honestly,
do you remember? What was it?
The Dallas Cowboys halftime show. Yeah.
Was it
Scott
Thanksgiving?
Stapp. Yes, it was. It was years ago now. It was in the 90s, I believe.
And he's flying in like an angel.
Oh, God. If I got Scott Stapp at a halftime show of the Super Bowl, I would probably spontaneously combust.
We need a third here. So, because it's like the rule of thirds. You need a third one in. Creed, Nickelback, and who?
Ooh, okay, so...
Creed, Nickelback, and who? Not the who. Who are you putting in there?
Yeah, so it's interesting. My first concert ever, actually, was Nickelback, Stained, and Daughtry.
Oh, God!
Yeah. So this is right up my alley, and I'm the biggest Creed fan at the station.
I would say that's horrible, but my first concert was Good Charlotte at Tower Records in Pasadena,
that's
Maryland.
So good. Ooh, Creed, Nickelback, and who? Maybe, like, ooh, do you bring out, like, Kid Rock? Is that too political?
The halftime's political now.
Imagine like Nickelback's in the middle of Rockstar and all of a sudden Kid Rock just comes out and he starts playing
a couple of
explode.
Listen. So they're doing Rockstar and all of a sudden in the background you hear Cowboy.
Yeah.
And then there's that cow and you're like, yes.
Yeah. Like, I think that would be sick. That would be awesome.
Because it has to be somebody kind of intentionally lame.
Yeah.
Like Creed and Nickelback.
You have to get Dad Rock, guys.
Yeah. Oh, it's not even dad rock. It's like...
Nowadays it's dad rock because all my friends that are dads love this stuff.
Oh, see, I feel like dad rock is more like Metallica.
No. See, no, but that's like now classic rock. That's like that's like your dad rock.
No, my dad's rock is like Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, my dad's rock is like Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that's Bruce Springsteen was dad rock when he was like 29. I mean, true. Bruce Springsteen was born dad rock.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the big news, not to get entirely off on yet another tangent, but the big news of the day, Mego, or the big news of the week, the Red Sox made an acquisition.
Yes.
Alex Bregman is officially a member of your Boston Red Sox. He's at Fort Myers. He's at spring training now, getting ready for the season. How excited are you on kind of a scale of 1 to 10 here to have Alex Bregman in the building?
I'm so unfortunately going to be the hater on this. I'm not a hater. I'm on the hater side of the street.
Halftime show. She's ready to hate on Bregman.
It's just like it's like a six at the bar at the end of the night.
Okay.
A six looks like a nine.
That's still positive.
You know, at the bar at the end of the night.
Oh, you got the beer goggles on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Red Sox fans kind of have beer goggles.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
I think
I'm the only person who I feel like is saying this. I was flabbergasted to read Dan Shaughnessy in the Globe yesterday saying Bregman, the Sox are back with Bregman with the signing. And I think it's a great contract. Mm. I think they played it super smart.
Agreed.
I understand why John Henry posted that super dorky photo of him
awesome
smoking
photo.
A cigar.
I kind of liked it.
Well, it looked like a glorious fireplace.
So
like, I would love to sit in
great
front
vest.
Of that.
I'm wearing a vest right now. Love the vest
game. That's the kind of fireplace you want to have a dry martini in front
oh,
of. Like,
yeah.
I'm all about that. Maybe a big goblet of red wine.
Yep.
I just think that everybody is really desperate. And there are signings that you made earlier in the offseason that were more exciting to me that we'll get to. And it's a nice signing. It's a great contract. I hope it really works out. But I don't think it's the thing that's catapulting you into being the top of your division. And people are talking that way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment. For me, it's more so about the fact that this is your biggest signing since what? David Price?
Yeah.
It's been that long since you signed.
Unless you want to count like Raffy as his
no, contract. Not a re-signing, a yeah. legitimate free okay. agent signing. Like, this is the biggest one since David Price.
Yes.
I mean, Trevor Story was minuscule and has barely played.
And Trevor Story, you knew at the time, everybody knew at the time that was just trying to get away from Xander.
Yeah, and for me, Bregman kind of is, it's not the piece that's going to make you a World Series champion, mm-hmm. but it's a piece that makes you a legitimate playoff team. Like, he's kind of the glue guy in that he is going to be a leader in the locker room.
It's a lot of money for a glue guy.
Yeah, but in this lot, you desperately needed it. Post Bogaerts, you haven't really had one. Like, you had Turner for a moment.
Are we talking glue guy or leader? Because those are different
things.
Both.
So I think it's both here. Like, it's a face. It's a guy who can stand in front of the media, has no problem talking. He's won a bunch. Like, he understands what it takes. He's really close with the coach. He's going to be a guy who can stand in front of the rest of the team and help point them in a good direction. And that, to me, brings a leader and some glue to that locker room. And I think that's what they need. They have a lot of young talent that's getting ready to come up and has come up and made their way, but it's still kind of figuring out their MLB life and MLB career. And so Bregman is kind of, I don't want to say North Star, that seems way too like poetic, but he is the guy that everybody else in that locker room can look towards. Because Raffy is paid like the guy that should be mm-hmm. that way, but doesn't want to be that. And so Bregman provides that leadership, that glue in the locker room.
I want to get into Bregman's fit with this team, both from the perspective of who he's going to be in the clubhouse, with the media, where he's actually going to play, because he's a third baseman, and the guy that you just mentioned who's getting a ton of money, Raffy, are you going to move him to DH? Or are you going to play Bregman at second base? I think there's still a lot that's up in the air. And again, like, I'm not trying to be a hater.
Yeah,
I'm a little surprised that we're already throwing a parade for this signing. It's exciting. I would love to see the Red Sox continue to spend more money over the next couple years. But for me, like, I'm not ready to do a backflip over the entire franchise changing from what we've seen the last couple of seasons.
617-779-7937. Hop on if you want to get in on the Alex Bregman conversation here. We're going to be getting right into that, right into the neck of it, or the, that's not the word. I forget. Regardless, we're going to get into Alex Bregman and the Red Sox, his fit, what position he's going to play, everything going on with the Sox as they begin spring training down in Fort Myers. You can also text into that number, 617-779-7937. You can hit us up on Twitter. You're at Megan_Ottolini. I'm at Shime Time. But right now, Jacob is going to get you caught up with what's...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Trending. Pick the slowest Creed song. I like this. This is fine.
I've never heard Creed before.
Never?
No.
Okay.
Well, Jacob.
God, this guy's voice.
It's so good. This is
it's
like
so bad.
This this is my favorite band growing up. This tells you a lot about who I am.
They are having a resurgence. When we were, I think probably two summers ago, I was driving down to North Carolina from Maryland with my brother and my now husband, and they made us blast Creed for like 2 hours.
That's the guys I could get
along
with.
So stupid. They were broing out, so I allowed it to happen. I want my husband and my brother to get along, but I was like, I hate my life.
So the reason they had the resurgence was the year the Rangers went to the World Series.
Okay.
Their Sweet Caroline, more or less, was higher by Creed. And Creed went to a game and stuff like that, and it became, it kind of took over like a little bit in the zeitgeist momentarily, and then Higher was also really popular on TikTok.
Kind of like Three Little Birds in, what was it, 2013?
Yeah, with Shane Victorino, right?
Yeah.
Yes, very similar. Or Dance It On My Own a couple years ago with Kyle from Waltham, Kyle Schwarber.
Yes.
So it's very similar to that. And then so the Rangers had Higher by Creed, and that kind of helped them get back into the limelight for a moment.
Okay, so what band would you want the Red Sox, if you believe in the Bregman signing,
okay,
along with Crochet, and you're looking at it and going, if they make a run and they're in the World Series
and they need a new song, what,
like, and they're gonna let some band or artist, they're gonna help them along to resurgence.
It can't
Which
be anybody too famous.
No, that's what I mean. It has to be somebody who, has like kind of faded away.
Yeah, but the song has to have juice. Like, it can't be. It has to be kind of like a hit.
It's
like
got to be a song that was a banger that everybody forgot about.
Yeah, like maybe like a one-hit wonder. Oh, man. I need time to think about
it. What about
this.
Call Me Maybe?
A great song.
Too obvious?
Yeah. I don't know that that would fit this locker room. Does Tristan Cassis scream Call Me Maybe to you?
Kind of.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I got two yeses. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. All right.
But I do feel like that's okay. The kind of thing that Cassis would do, and then everyone would hate him.
Yeah, yeah. The one big smash hit, and then Carly Rae Jepsen has done like nothing outside of that. Okay.
And didn't she have that hit? She was already like 30.
Probably.
It was a very weird dynamic.
Yeah, my choice, and this is, it probably says a lot about me, 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. That song rips.
That song does rip, but I don't think it's happy enough.
Okay, fair.
That's the one where she's playing the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like zooming through a city.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces past, I'm homebound.
But it's not like a song that you can really like dance to.
True. Okay. Yeah. So, and then I think that's the interesting thing, because Dancing On My Own, the song they had a couple years ago, was also not like that. Like, it was the original version of that is
Robin?
Not. So the Robin version is, but the Callum Scott version wasn't until Tiesto remixed it.
Okay, that song was a banger when it came out.
Yeah, when Robin came out with it in what? Was that like the 80s, early 90s?
No, I don't know. I remember it being really popular in like 2013.
Really?
Yeah, maybe it was just going through, maybe, you know, songs.
Oh, yeah, the song came out in 2010. Wow,
yeah,
I thought the song was
I remember because I remember in my youth being on Figaui on Nantucket, and the Robin song
hanging
was
out with
everywhere.
Greg.
Oh, my God. I was killing it. Those were the days.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
not gonna lie.
Yeah, it was. Oh, you know what else? What was? I can't remember the name of the song. I'm gonna think on this. This is a project.
Yeah.
We did not pre-plan the segment,
nope.
So I think we should get to the actual baseball before people lose their minds. But I do think it's a fun thing. It's got to happen organically for the Red Sox. You can't.
It's
got to
be somebody in the locker room that kind of just like loves this song and starts playing it for everybody, and then everybody else like, yeah, this song is our go-to
Bregman's
hype song.
Maybe could be that song from the show Doug, where they're like banging on a trash can.
Banging on a trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Killer beats. Yeah, something like that. 617-779-7937. It's Shime and Mego here talking Red Sox, the signing of Alex Bregman. Mego, you've been kind of a hater. Or you are kind of a hater.
I'm not a hater. I just feel, I think it's a great signing, and I think it's a great contract, and it makes mostly sense for you, and it points to a good direction that the Red Sox are moving in. If you want to look at Craig Breslow, what Breslow can execute and what he's allowed to do, what ownership is willing to do in terms of paying for a free agent now and making good on the promise that they have been telling everybody for the last couple of years. Once the young guys come up, we've been investing in the farm system. Once the young guys come up to the majors, once the young guys are in the majors, we're going to be the Red Sox that you remember from 2018. We're going to go out there and spend on free agents. We see this core as a core like Mookie, like Xander, like Raffy, and we're going to replicate that recipe that got us the World Series last time. I just ask you if you feel like there's going to be anything else over the next couple of years. I think maybe I'm just coming from the perspective of I'm greedy, and I look at the division that you're in. The competition is really tough.
Yes, it is.
You have been really disappointing over the last 5 years. And I think that a lot of Red Sox fans are just at a point of desperation where they're doing backflips over this signing, and it's a good signing and it's a good contract, but it's almost like the stuff I'm hearing, it's almost people are acting like it's like Shohei Ohtani or something.
Yeah, and it's definitely not. And I don't think people should believe that it is. Like, this does not make you a World Series favorite by any means. I mean, hell, you're still, according to the sports books,
it's a good signing. It's a smart signing.
Agreed. Very smart signing. And the way the contract is designed, I think, is perfect, especially because it's what the Red Sox want to do. They didn't want to commit to a guy long term, knowing that they had these young guys coming
up.
He's
got
two
outs. He's going to be 31, right?
Yep, exactly. Like, and so, if he has a great, great year this year, like if he's an MVP candidate, he's going to get out of this contract and go get a massive deal somewhere else next year. And it just opens up the room for, you know, your Roman Anthony's and Kyle Taylor, or, you know, your prospects to come up and play, your Christian Campbell's and to slide in. And so,
don't you love that about the prospects, by the way? Like, okay, so Marcelo Mayer is the one that everybody's been talking about for 3 years at this point. And now it's like Christian Campbell's the guy. I swear to God, every spring training that we walk into, the hot prospect behind Mayer has changed. It's like, you know, it was like Kyle Teal, and now it's Christian Campbell. And let me tell you something. I've seen these guys in Portland, okay? In the summer, I spent half my life in Portland, Maine, and my husband is obsessed with going to Sea Dogs games.
Really?
So you've probably seen me there if you go to Sea Dogs games. And I go to maybe like three a summer, and then I'm like, I can't do any more Sea Dogs games. Honey, I'm going shopping. I'm going to the beach by myself.
Enjoy
you go
the
to
baseball
the Sea
by
Dogs.
Yourself.
He's like a baseball rat, just like Cora's talking about Pedroia and Bregman. Like, he loves watching these young prospects there. But I watch the prospects, and I'm like, yeah, you know, like, this guy looks good. This is fun. Take little videos of him and everything. But the way that we walk into these spring trainings, now it's Christian Campbell, right? Yeah. Oh, it's Christian Campbell. It's Christian Campbell. I just think the prospect thing, they've been putting so much weight on this, the Red Sox, over the last couple of years, that now you see people doing backflips for Bregman. And it's like, how about that? A professional baseball player at the major league level.
Yeah, I get that. But at least they're spending money.
That's what
excited.
It mostly comes down to, right?
Yeah, it's that ownership finally went out and spent money again. And we've been clamoring for it. We've been crying for it. So anybody upset by the Bregman signing, I think, is in the wrong here. Like, I don't.
Well, nobody's upset, but it's like his OPS last year was 0.768. And I know it's just because I have it right in front of me. Like, he's been a little bit pedestrian overall the last three seasons.
Yeah, I think last year, though, too, like, if you take out the first month and a half of the season, right, and so you're only looking at June to September, October, he hit like 290.
Okay, he's never had the production that he had in 2018 and 2019.
Sure.
And I think that is a little bit of something to look at.
But like,
because what was happening
there? Okay, but overall, he's been very consistent even since then. I mean, he's in the he's right around 20 home runs. I mean, last three seasons, 23, 25, 26, RBIs 93, 98, 75, average almost exactly 260 every single year. Like, this is a guy who's very consistent. You know what
he's dependable.
It seems. This is the kind of comp I would make football-wise. Is it almost...
Oh, do we have to make a football comp?
No,
I think... We can just talk baseball.
I know, but like, just, you know, for people out there who want to kind of line it up, to me, it's like a little bit better than Hunter Henry-esque. Like, when you signed Hunter Henry, you knew you were getting a tight end that's getting you 650 yards and anywhere 7-plus touchdowns
every
year.
The way that everybody's talking about it, you'd think that they just got the Gronk.
Yeah. It's definitely not Gronk, though. Like, it's a good player that you want on your baseball team, but not like somebody that's going to, you know, put you over the top.
Do you think it's an issue that he is a third baseman and they're either going to have to play him at second or they're going to have to DH Raffy? Because I felt that
I think Raffy should be the DH anyways.
Yeah,
his defense stinks. It's
Raffy,
so bad.
Raffy has been like tiptoeing towards the DH position for the entire last season.
Yep.
And I don't know. I think when you hear Cora say at other times that he thinks that Bregman could be like this elite second baseman, I feel like he's just giving himself wiggle room to decide what he's going to do with the lineup. And
yeah.
And I think, where he's going to put everybody.
And I think it'll start where Bregman will be at second base and Raffy will be at third. But I feel like Raffy will be on a very short leash. And so any sign of chaos, any sign of struggle at third base, they'll immediately be like, all right, you're going to DH and we're putting Bregman at third. And that's just, it's an easy move to make. It's not something that's going to be very difficult. I just think ultimately they would rather not pay just a pure DH that much, but would like to at least give him an opportunity at third in order to start the season.
And a good point from the text line, he does, text line says he rakes in Fenway. It's true. It's true. He's been a killer in Fenway. So and hopefully that translates to him being a Red Sox player.
And a 407 text, only possible negative would be Bregman preventing them from going after Guerrero next year. Do you feel like that would be a possibility?
Absolutely not. Also, it like that's the thing is...
There's the opt-out, too. If he's good, which you hope he is, he'll just opt out anyways.
Breslow deserves a ton of credit for this contract. And sometimes I hear people say, anybody can be a GM, anybody can be in this position and look good if they're allowed to spend money. It really comes down to what ownership decides you can do and can't do. But I actually think the structure of this contract, the way that Breslow waited the market out and was able to execute this contract with the outs, with somebody at this age and production level, it's you really had to give credit to the guy.
Yeah, I agree. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Nick in Dover. What's up, Nick?
Hey, let me take you off speaker. Thank you for putting me on so quick. I just got to say, Mego, the Red Sox just signed 2017 Kevin Millar, only with a better glove, a better bat. He's going to be great for this team. I think maybe you're a little bummed because your Orioles probably, you know, aren't really keeping up right now in the AL East.
I think you might be right with the slant that I'm coming from, Nick.
I just want to say one more thing. Walkout music for Alex Bregman this year should be either something very groovy from Beck or a real banger like Come On, Feel the Noise by Quiet Riot. Those are and bring a Super Bowl show back that everybody can relate to. I didn't particularly love this one, but I get it. Rap is kind of hard to follow, especially if people aren't really up on Kendrick Lamar. I got to tell you, he was much better than The Weeknd. But
oh God, The Weeknd was horrible.
You need to bring somebody in like Beck or someone that can bring other musicians up on stage. Stevie Wonder, real music. I'm sorry. I'm old.
No, hey, I got it, Nick. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
See, but that's like a thoughtful response. And honestly, I just did it with The Weeknd, where I said The Weeknd show I thought was horrible.
The best part of The Weeknd was all the memes.
It was not for me. I didn't like the little like mirror house was wandering around.
But to be fair, like that was the COVID year,
right? COVID Super Bowl.
Yeah, so like it's not
they
like...
They had to do something different, I guess.
Yeah, and I think he did the best he could. I mean, the meme of like trying to find my table at the Cheesecake Factory as he's like bouncing around the mirror house.
I think that was Connor Ryan.
All time great tweet.
That was a great tremendous tweet. Well done.
Yes. Very well done. Let's go to Kurt in Tampa. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, first of all, if you're going to have Nickelback and Creed, you got to have Pearl Jam with them. There's no Nickelback and Creed.
Pearl Jam's too good. Pearl Jam's too good to be with that.
Like Pearl Jam's A-list, whereas like Creed and Nickelback are like C-list. And I think that's kind of where we're at. We're like, we need three C-list bands.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, we got A-list band that I thought of. I think everyone loves them, but Blink-182, I think, would make a great halftime show.
Ooh, good call, Kurt. Thanks for the call. Mego, where are you on Blink-182? So, I love Blink-182.
I probably saw Blink-182 four or five times in concert.
Okay.
At their peak when I was between the ages of 12 and 15, like around there.
Yep.
It's one of those bands who I love that everybody loves them, but I think my teenage brain ruined them for me. You know,
interesting. Okay.
Like you either love or hate the music that you were really into when you were 13, 14 years old. And at that time in your life, you're more into the stuff that you like than at any other point in your life. And so now I just hear it and I just think about that. I don't know. It just has like a weird association.
Brings you back to a weird time in your life.
No, it just like... I don't know. Something about it just didn't age well for me. I think they would probably be a really fun halftime show, and they would be a band who would pair really well with pop stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could definitely bring out a Katy Perry or somebody like that. I don't know. Maybe, like, I'm trying to think of younger people that, like, Olivia Rodrigo would be really good with them. Or even somebody like a Chapel Roan or something. These younger big names that... people younger than
burning
us are
real
really
right
into. Like, I think that would make sense. That's, you need a band like that who's self-aware and fun if you're going to pair them. You can't pair
100%.
You can't pair Pearl Jam with Olivia Rodrigo.
No, it doesn't work.
Those are going to clash. It's not going to work. You have to have somebody who's like kind of in on the joke of the Super Bowl halftime show, which is this is just a crazy spectacle in the middle of a football game.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Greg even like threw back. He's like, one of your favorite bands is Dave Matthews. You wouldn't want them doing the halftime show? I'm like, no, they wouldn't be a good halftime show.
They would be horrible. Dave Matthews is a jam band.
Yeah, I love.
Like, who are they going to, they're going to have the Grateful Dead with John Mayer playing? Like, this is not.
That'd be kind of fun.
It's not going to work.
No, it's not.
It's not the right energy.
Look, I don't disagree. I came right back and I said, no. Like, Dave Matthews is one of my favorite bands of all time. Wouldn't be a good halftime show.
Yeah.
Like, I know that.
Absolutely not.
John Mayer would not be a good halftime show.
How funny would it be, though?
Unless you're just shredding on guitar.
If they did like Dave Matthews, Grateful Dead with John Mayer, because he's their singer these days, and then they did like OAR.
Oh, I'd die and go to heaven.
And all of a sudden, there's a cloud of smoke above the stadium, trapped in the dome, maybe.
Well, so I went to a music festival in Ocean City, Maryland.
Okay.
It's called Ocean's Calling. It was originally like put together by kind of OAR. Like they are.
Because
like
they're from my town.
Yes, they are from Rockville, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of.
Well, that's the town next to my town.
Okay.
Sure.
And so they kind of put together this festival, and the original lineup had Dave Matthews. And so they were going to be playing in the same weekend as Dave Matthews. So, of course, I got tickets. I was so freaking happy. I was so excited. But it was also a weekend that like a hurricane rolled through and just ruined it. And
did
they
you
had
get
to cancel.
Comped?
Yeah, yeah, we got our tickets back.
Okay.
We got our money back. But like they canceled the entire festival,
sucks.
Which sucked. And so we were like, all right, we're just going to take the money we get back from this, put it towards next year's. We're going next year. And next year they swapped out Dave Matthews for John Mayer, which is like, I love Mayer, but
it's
God,
not
I would.
No,
it would. Seeing Dave Matthews on a beach would have been.
Yes.
Awesome. It would have been so good. That's where you want to listen to Dave Matthews, not at the Super Bowl halftime.
Okay. I think I have the Super Bowl halftime show that we can all agree on.
Okay.
Tell me if you think I'm way off here. Hootie and the Blowfish.
I do love Hootie.
I think America would agree on Hootie and the Blowfish.
Now, do you mix it in country, Darius?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mix
so you get
country.
Like Wagon Wheel, which is just
absolutely.
That Red Sox.
And then, like, Wagon Wheel, you could have Post Malone come out and sing Wagon Wheel with him.
Yeah.
Or that Jelly Roll person. I don't know why everybody has these tattoos on their faces.
We could do Post Malone, Jelly Roll, and Teddy Swims and just do the face tat halftime show.
I don't know who Teddy Swims is. I know the name, but
yeah,
I don't know his songs.
I don't know. He has a couple big songs right now. But he's a really good vocalist.
This is what you got to do. You use Hootie as the foundation. Hootie is the foundation and the Blowfish, and they're playing the show, and then you bring your younger artists in, and they get to sing on the Hootie songs, or they do Wagon Wheel,
or they
do something else that's kind of like, you know, referential.
Good 603 text. DMB and Creed. All of Shime's opinions suddenly make sense to me. Yep, you're welcome. That's who I am.
I was reading you a list of bands that I was like, I was Googling
I
bands like Nickelback, and I was like, God, these
Hoobastank.
Bands are, and you were like, awesome. I was like, terrible.
So good.
These bands are terrible.
Butt rock was my life for like 20 years. I still enjoy it. 617-779-7937 if you want to get in on the Alex Bregman conversation, or if you got a halftime show suggestion for us, feel free to throw it at us. It's Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Been talking Alex Bregman and music basically all morning because that's what a Saturday morning is for.
Yeah.
Baseball and music. The two go together
so
well.
It's like 9:30 on a Saturday morning and people are mad that we talked about the Super Bowl halftime show for like 5 minutes.
I would also just like to say, what sport is more tied to music than baseball? Maybe only basketball? Like baseball,
yes.
I mean, you have John Fogerty, you have Sweet Caroline, you have so many songs that are important to baseball. And I think more so it's the culture necessarily that ties the music and basketball a lot of times together.
Well, we know what the best song that emerged out of baseball, as we've talked about before on this show, over the last 5 years is Trumpets.
Oh, yes.
Trumpets.
That song.
So good.
Rips.
That song. I mean, look, we've done horn talk before.
We're
not going to do horn talk this morning.
Don't need to.
But that song is awesome.
That song is the best. That's the bee's knees.
Timmy Trumpets? What is it?
Yeah, Timmy Trumpets.
Timmy Trumpets?
Narcos.
That song? I would never know that song if not for baseball.
No, yeah.
If not for baseball, the world would not have that song.
The Mets closer. You're a Mets fan, right? What's his name?
Yeah, Edwin Diaz.
Thank you, Edwin Diaz.
If not for Edwin Diaz, we would not have that song, and they play that song at every sporting event now, and everybody loves it.
Yeah, that song, it's so good. It immediately gets you amped up beyond belief. And
makes you want to run through a wall.
Yeah, it really does. It really, yes, that's exactly what it does. It makes me want to run through a wall.
Like a bull.
In a china shop.
Yeah.
Brr.
The wall of a china shop.
The wall of a china
but
shop.
We're going to get distracted with horn talk. Yeah, you have right. Something that you actually want to ask me here.
I do. Yes,
not
I have
horn
a question.
Talk.
Yep, non-related to horns. I had a question for you that was brought up on the Greg Hill Show this week. I thought it was an interesting point of view. Do you think that the Red Sox and John Henry going out and spending money this offseason, trading for Garrett Crochet, bringing in Walker Buehler, then giving Alex Bregman a $40 million contract, pushes other owners, most specifically Robert Kraft, to spend money in their respective offseasons?
Yeah, so let's be clear here. We're really just talking about the Patriots.
Yeah.
We're not. The
Celtics spend a ton of
the
money.
The Celtics have been opening that wallet for the last couple years, so I don't think that anybody needs to look over there.
The Bruins technically spend the cap.
We don't know who's going to be holding the purse strings next year, but
correct.
That's something that we're all still trying to figure out. So for the Patriots, I don't think it moves the needle with them. I don't think that they think that way at all. I think there was a point in the early 2000s, like early mid 2000s, 2004, 2005, 2006, when that was something that ownership groups thought about in the city. But now I think it's more... It just so happens that the Patriots are sitting here with $110 million to spend against the cap, at least. And yep. Whether they can execute that in free agency, whether they throw $30 million a year at T. Higgins, we'll see. Whether they swing a trade and then rework a contract with somebody. I'm mostly thinking about receivers off the top of my head right now. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more about that the Patriots have to do that. Their cupboard is so bare. They had to get out there and spend money. They don't really have a choice. They really don't have a choice. I don't think it's going to be pushed by what the Red Sox are doing.
Yeah, I think if they were ever going to have been pushed, they would have been pushed by what the Celtics had been doing over the last couple of years, a team that won a championship, really good.
Right, and I think that just shows you that it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I don't think that organizations in the city think that way anymore.
Yeah, and why would you care what another team does that sucks? Like, the Red Sox have been not good for, 4 years now? Four out of five, last five, at least. Like, it's just, why would you care what a bad team is doing?
There certainly was the point where it changed in this market.
Yep.
Where it was Red Sox number one for a really, really, really long time.
Yes, it was.
And then the Patriots started pulling off a historic dynasty.
Tom Brady.
And NFL eats everything in its path. And so it was this natural realigning of the teams where then the Patriots soar. And the Red Sox organization is like, hold on a second, wait. This is our town. This is a baseball town. This isn't a football town. But now I think when you look at the landscape of sports, NFL and football in general just is
dominance.
On top of everything. And I think everybody else has kind of come to accept that, whether you're the NBA, the MLB, NHL, you're just looking for your slice of the pie when football isn't on.
I think for the most part, you're right. But I think what the Boston Celtics have done is they've capitalized on a downtime in the city, right? Like in a portion of time where the Patriots, Tom Brady left and the Patriots became bad, they immediately ascended to the top.
Well,
and
I think that
at the forefront of a lot of people's
minds. I think that also had to do with them having the two homegrown stars.
Yeah, that
who
were
about to enter their prime, so they had to strike at that time.
Yeah, and you're probably right. It was more so just kind of a fortuitous timing type deal than anything. But I think it matters that it's like, oh, nice, our two awesome stars are in their prime. They're ready to go. Let's bring in Derek White's a piece. Oh, yeah, let's give him a big contract. Let's bring in Drew Holiday. Let's trade for Kristaps Porzingis.
Right, but
everybody
if you look
wins.
At years before, they were trying to do that with Kyrie.
Sure,
they were trying to do that with Gordon Hayward. They
Very
thought
true.
that lineup was going to get them to a championship. So it's not like they and the Patriots and Red Sox were still winning at that time. So it's not like they were looking at the other teams and going,
and trying to be bad.
Ooh, now let's push because the fans will pay attention to us. It was just that cycle of spending for them didn't work with Kyrie.
Now, do you think this puts the Red Sox any closer to being the next, like, team in the city to a title? Like, of course the Celtics are the closest.
Yeah,
we all know that. But after the Celtics, do you think the Bregman signing kind of puts them ahead of a team like the Patriots? Were they already ahead of a team like the Patriots and the
Bruins?
Well,
I don't think the Patriots and the Bruins are close.
Okay.
And so baseball is also, as we all know, it's different.
Yeah.
It's easier to get into the postseason. And once you're there, if you're in the wild card round, it's much easier. When I say easier than it was 10 years ago to get into the postseason for baseball. And so I think it's just a much more wide open field where you can be a good team, get into the postseason, and then get really feisty. And that's been the case for baseball for a little while, but it's just so much easier to get past the hurdle of the first entry point now.
Let's go to Dave in Weston, wants to talk about Alex Bregman. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Hey, Mega, we miss you on the radio every day. We do.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
So the thing I feel about the Bregman deal, right, is, like, you're not signing a guy who's hitting 300 with, like, 35 bombs, right? You're signing a guy with a good bat, not a great bat, right? So I think the value from signing an Alex Bregman comes from getting the full Alex Bregman, which means a really good third baseman that is also going to be in the top, two or three in your lineup, sitting second or third, whatever. But they want to placate Raffy, right? Because they panic signed him to probably a higher contract maybe than he was worth. And now, if money's going to dictate, we don't want to overpay for it. We don't want to pay that much for just a DH. Well, you made a bad, you kind of panicked a little while ago, and you got to move your best third baseman off of his position. I don't care how good he is at second. I'm sure he can play a great second base, but you're taking your best third baseman and you're moving him to play K. Raffy. Now, if they had gone big time, and brought in Arenado and Bregman, and then they move Bregman a second, I can justify that because I think Arenado's such a great third baseman. But I hate to see them move him for Raffy Devers at third base, who's terrible.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Yeah, I think I get it. I think at this point you just have to eat it and move Devers to DH. Like, I think that's kind of ultimately where this team will end up. And I think they'll get there. I think it'll kind of come by necessity, but they're going to give Raffy the chance to play third base first.
So I ask you this because our friend Rob Bradford just tweeted a video of Trevor Story in down at JetBlue Park. Do we feel secure enough with Story this year? Because everybody's cracking jokes. I'm looking on Twitter about, hey, don't injure yourself walking into the park. And I do feel like
a major
problem for the Red Sox the last several seasons is Story being able to play and then oops, there's no other shortstop here.
I'm also really interested in how in shape he is, how conditioned he is. You watch him walking in. I'm not going to say he looks like the fittest shortstop I've ever seen.
You expect a shortstop to have a certain physique.
Yeah, and maybe it's the clothing choice. Maybe that's just not doing him justice. As someone who's been hefty most of his life, I don't know.
Your hefty alarm went off?
Yeah. My
hefty alarm.
It went off. That's all I'm saying. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the Red Sox at all. Alex Bregman, what the season looks like for the Sox now that they've signed Bregman to a contract. We'll continue with that. But, Mego, next, let's get into the Boston Celtics. Let's get into that best team in the city. They might be losing a coach on the staff. We'll talk about all that coming up here. It's Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.